Good evening. It's good to be here, and it's nice to see everyone. And I didn't get to do this last week to anybody, but I wish everyone a happy new year, and I hope your year is you find much blessings this year, and look forward to a great year. This evening's lesson, and Larry and I we're gonna have to start talking before I come over here and start preaching, because the lesson I prepared was the same one he did this morning. So you're gonna get a double dose, but hopefully we can pull some other things out that might not have been pulled out this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses, 2 Timothy 4 verses 14 through 18 is where we're gonna be at this evening. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 14 through 18. And let's just go ahead and read this. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Be on guard against him yourself, for he vigorously opposed our teaching. At my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. Verse 17. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed, and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, in this lesson, we're going to look. You know, this letter was to Timothy. It was talking. He was talking to Timothy, and I found that he was warning Timothy in this, and also, I can see Timothy where he could find some comfort in the latter verses there. I think he can find some comfort. So Timothy was warned, and he was also comforted in these verses. We'll see that Paul had to warn Timothy about this man. Now we don't know; doesn't say a whole lot about this man, but we can gather very little. We can gather enough. Paul was also comforting in the latter verses. Now let's talk about Alexander the coppersmith. You know, all that we know that he did much harm to Paul, and we also know that he did not like their teaching. He did not like their teaching. But Paul, you know, did not seem to let those things stop him from teaching others. You know, so many times when someone doesn't want to hear what we hear, what the Bible says, we tend to just stop because sometimes we may feel like a failure, or we don't want to be. Main thing is we don't like being denied, and we don't like them not listening, because we know how important it is to listen to the gospel and to obey the gospel. Paul knew the Lord would deal with him for what he had done, though. Paul knew that. You know, and I find it that it was nice of Paul to warn Timothy about this man. He warned Timothy about this man. Now, is that to say that this man was unteachable? I don't believe so. I don't believe that he's unteachable. Maybe just not at that time. He didn't like what he was being told. But that's not to say that he's unteachable. That comes from within. They have to be willing to listen. And there will be those that we might talk to about the gospel, and they might not want to listen at that time. They might want. They might put you off, but we have to kick the dirt off our shoes and move on, and because there are other souls that need to be saved, but we also can't give up on them. We can't give up. You know, sometimes we can feel that way about a person, that they're unteachable, but no one's ever unteachable, and that's why I say just never give up. There will be some who will never change their way of thinking. There will be those who will never change their thinking, their way of thinking. But that should never stop us from talking with them and showing them the scriptures. You know, we need to have confidence in the scriptures. We need to have confidence in the scriptures. God's word can change lives. We understand that it changed Paul's life. It changed Paul's life. He went from persecuting the church to being one of the strongest advocates for Christ. You know, he was not proud of that part of his life, the persecuting and against the church. He was not proud of those things, but he was thankful that he was able to turn things around. You know, in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, the Bible tells us, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ will be persecuted. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. It's not easy being a Christian. It's not easy being a preacher of God's word. It's not easy to teach the gospel to those. But it's something that we have to do. We're going to go through persecution as well. There will be those who want to listen and those who won't want to listen. But he was not proud of those things that he had done at that part of his life. But that's something, you know, that we're going to have to deal with. We may not be well liked for doing the right things, but we have to do those things. We have to take a stand for what is right. We just have to know not everyone will respond to the gospel, even if you show them what they must do. Not everyone will respond to the gospel. You know, I believe we ought to be thankful for our past. We need to be thankful for our past. It lets others know that their life can be turned around as well. You know, we sometimes forget where we used to be. And I think that can teach someone that might be able to bring someone to Christ. Because they saw that you might have been traveling down the wrong road and was able to turn things around. And they, if they see that, they may want that. That's something that they may want. Now, let's look at verse 16. There it talks about, it says, at my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. Paul had no one on his side there in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 16 there. He had no one on his side. Paul had a great attitude, even though he had no support. Even though he had no support. And then right there said, all deserted me. All deserted me. You know, it made me wonder how that would make me feel if knowing that, all deserted me. I had no support. You know, how would we feel if we had no support? You know, you feel alone when no one is there to support you. You feel alone. You know, Paul had a love for those, though, that even though they deserted him, they left him, and he had no one on his side. He said there, may it not be counted against them. May it not be counted against them. So even though they deserted him, he did not want it counted against them. Wow, that just teaches us so much right there. He had a love for them. You know, sometimes we are not that forgiving. We are not that forgiving. We tend to hold grudges and let our emotions get the best of us. But Jesus had a great attitude about forgiveness as well. You know, if we look in Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, it says, the Bible says, but Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And that right there alone, that also teaches about forgiveness. That is forgiveness, because we, after all that Jesus had done, he had suffered the pain and the anguish and the blood that he spilled, he asked that they be forgiven. You know, how good are we to pray for those who have wronged us? How good are we to pray for those who have wronged us? You know, I can't help but think about Stephen as well. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 60, Stephen said, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Do not hold this sin against them. You know, it was Paul understood that his task, Paul understood his task and that it was not going to be easy. He understood his task. But sometimes when things get too hard, You know, it makes us want to stop what we are doing. We don't like it when things get tough. We tend to just stop pressing on, and we need to press forward. We need to press forward. Now let's go ahead and look down at verse 17 of chapter 4 there. And I think Paul found confidence in the Lord in verse 17 there. It says, I know the Lord, you know, the Lord stood with Paul and gave him strength. The Lord stood with Paul and gave him strength. You know, he knew the Lord was with him, and nothing was going to stop him from teaching and preaching God's word. But sometimes we have trouble trusting God. You know, we have trouble trusting God. We know, and the Bible says that God's with us, but do we really fully trust that God is with us? Do we fully trust that? And I think that we sometimes lose sight. We try to take things on by ourselves when we know our strength comes from God. Our strength comes from God. It's easy to lose focus and stop putting our trust in God, and we start trusting ourselves more. But we need to always put more trust in God. Paul found confidence in knowing the Lord was with him. Though no one else was on his side, he knew that God was on his side. He knew God stood with him. You know, that's the confidence that we need to have. The Lord stands with us when we are doing what's right. The Lord stands with us. Paul knew that he had been rescued out of the lion's mouth. You know, the things Paul endured, he had to endure, it made him a better person because the Lord was with him. And he was able to tell others what the Lord did for him. He was able to tell about it. And, you know, what we need to realize is we have our story to tell. We have our story to tell, but it may not be as glamorous as Paul's. The things that Paul went through, the things that he endured, it may not be as, our lives may not match up with Paul's, but people need to know what the Lord can do for them. The Lord does for us, and that he can do for those as well. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, very familiar passage. Philippians 4 and verse 13 says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And that right there, we know that the Lord gives us strength. We find strength in the Lord. Paul used his strength that the Lord gave him to its fullest. He used it to its fullest. Paul was preparing Timothy for what he was going to have to face. He was preparing Timothy for what was to come his way. And we as well, we try to train our young men at an early age to aspire to preach God's word. We try to teach our young to aspire to preach God's word because the church needs good sound preachers. They are the future of the church. I wonder at times how good we are at trying to let our young know how important that they are, and that they and let them know that they are the future of the church. You know, I can say myself that when I was younger, I wasn't ready to decide to go into full-time preaching. And I wasn't ready for that, and I don't know that you ever are. But you start seeing a necessity. You start seeing a necessity. You know, I knew that it was going to be a tough task, but I knew that it had to be done. You know, I saw the need for younger preachers, and I'm thankful for the congregation here at Colcord and allowing me the opportunity to come in once a month and preach. I appreciate that so much. And the key word is there, the opportunity. I appreciate the opportunity. You know, there's we all have work to do in the church. We all have work to do. And as long as we work together, bringing souls to the kingdom, encouraging one another, you know, we can't be afraid to do the work. We can't be afraid to do the work. The future of the church, you know, it's something we need to prepare for. It seems like people today are getting more and more worldly all the time. You know, we ought to strive to be better Christians. Look for opportunities to serve. Look for opportunities to serve. And then in verse 18, let's look at verse 18 in 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 18, we find that Paul found assurance. Paul had assurance. And we have to remember where Paul was in this juncture at this point. He was at the end of his life. He was at the end of his life, and we know that Timothy was young, and we know that that Paul was trying to teach him, trying to prepare him for what was coming his direction. You know, Paul knew that his evil deeds were no more, and he knew that he had a heavenly kingdom after his earthly life. And he knew that he had a heavenly, the heavenly kingdom. He had something to look forward to, and we too, we tend to forget that we have something better that awaits us as long as we are doing the Word of God, as long as we are abiding by His Word. You know, in 2 Timothy, also, let's go ahead and read 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 3 through 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 8. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Paul knew that he had something better that awaited him. And we too, we look forward to that day. That's something we look forward to. But the truth, we know that the truth. Well, we need sound doctrine. That's what was talking about in those verses. Talked about that they will not endure sound doctrine. Well, we have to have sound doctrine. We don't need our ears to be tickled. We don't need them to be tickled. You know, the truth must be preached, whether we like to hear it or not. You know, some people chase after what they think is right and not do what the Scriptures say. Well, Paul knew that he had a better place that awaited him, but his work was still not done. His work was still not done. You know, we need to have the same confidence that Paul had, knowing that he had a heavenly place waiting for him. We need to persevere and know that the Lord will take care of us. The Lord is with us. You know, even at a young age, Jesus knew He had a task. Jesus had a task, and He was all about His Father's business. We have our task here on earth. It's not just becoming a Christian, and many stop there. But the joy is afterwards. We get to bring other souls to the kingdom. We need to talk to others. We need to serve, find ways of serving. But the challenge for us is, are we doing the Father's will, or are we chasing our own will? You know, there's no better time than now to be the servant we need to be. You know, each of us have a place in the church, and we also have duties to carry out. Now, if you would, turn back to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, very familiar passage, verses 15 and 16. Romans chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. So for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You know, Paul was eager. The key word there, he was eager. He was willing to preach the gospel, no matter what, because it was the power that saves. Paul was eager to preach the gospel. He was not ashamed of the gospel. Sometimes we tend to let fear drive us away from teaching the gospel to someone because fear of rejection. You know, we should be eager to share the gospel with others. May we always put our trust in the scriptures and not in ourselves. You know, all we can do is plant seeds. That's the only thing that we can do because God gives the increase. God gives the increase. We should be forever grateful for Paul and the example that he left for us to follow. May this year bring you joy and happiness to each and every one. And let us look to become better servants. Better servants. You know, I think of New Year's resolutions. There's so many out there that make New Year's resolutions, and we hear them all the time. You know, I want to lose weight, I want to exercise more. There's so many that we hear, but very seldom do we hear, I want to be a better servant of Christ. May we keep our focus on God and not take our eyes off what awaits us if we are found faithful. Tonight, the lesson is yours. If you haven't become a child of God, haven't put Christ on in baptism, or if you are a child of God and need prayers of the church, whatever your need is, go ahead and make it be made known as we stand and sing the invitation song.